The best way to watch Crossroads Church is on your smart TV because that's where your family hangs out. And plus, taking a break from your phone and tablet feels good. Download the Crossroads TV app on your smart TV and your TV becomes your church, your community, your new rhythm, your I finally went to church this week. Set a time to experience church on your TV. See, you've already made your TV smarter. Download the Crossroads TV app. It'll give you the boost you and your family need for your week.
Winter's coming. Cold, long, dark. And it's going to be
amazing. Get yourself a shot in the arm of encouragement. Just survive, hibernate. No way. God wants you to thrive this winter, and we'll show you how. A new weekly series from Crossroads. Check it out by downloading the Crossroads app on your smart TV or at crossroads.net.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Crossroads Church. I am so glad that you're with us for week 3 of the series called Thrive This Winter. This series, we're talking about not just how to survive, but to thrive. I'm Hannah, and I'm usually here with my buddy, Justin.
I'm here.
With a chicken.
What do people love to eat on Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
Chicken. No. I mean, seriously, last week they made me wear a scarf.
They did.
This week we asked for a turkey, and we got a little chicken. But
production's struggling right now.
We love our team, but we do. But here's the deal. There's good luck in every chicken. Did you know that?
No.
There's a wishbone.
Oh, yes.
Yes, right?
Chickens have wishbones too?
Yes.
I thought that was just turkeys.
No. Okay. So there is a wishbone in here that you have to get out.
Me?
Yes. Yeah, you feel good about that?
I don't.
No, right?
No.
I got a knife for you. So I'm just, the wishbone's right here, and I just say.
We're gonna do this live right now.
It's only been sitting for a few hours. It's totally
love
fine.
It.
Smells great.
Mm.
How you feel?
So where is it?
It's hidden right shoulder blade of this chicken that was alive one time, but it's not
is
now.
This the neck? Oh my God.
All right.
Watch the knife situation.
Come on, just break it open.
How
go
does
for
one
it.
Come go, on.
Go
for this?
Go for it. One, nope. Don't delicate. Nope, go for it. All right, you seem like you're struggling
very
with this.
Very much, yes.
A little bit. You seem a little squeamish.
Yep.
So we're going to move on to see what Brian has to say about planning, and we'll get back to this a little later.
Hey, welcome to Crossroads. My name is Brian. I want to help you today thrive this winter. Who wants to thrive this winter? Not only just this winter, but on into the future. If you want to thrive this winter, you've got to learn to plan. It's got to be important to you. I hear some of us going, oh, planning. Oh, I like to plan. I like to plan. Oh, I bet he's going to talk about people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. No, I'm not going to talk about that. There's some truth to that. I actually think that our culture has become consumed with plans, and it's paralyzed us from actually doing things, and it's going to paralyze us from doing anything to actually thrive this winter. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 3, it says, to commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Plans only mean as much as you work. It's when we work the thing that we planned on is when we thrive. It's been said by a number of people, including a song by Trace Adkins, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I think the original is an old Yiddish proverb that says, we plan, God laughs. This is true. There is an unpredictability to our lives that our plans can't accommodate. Who would have ever thought that we would have dealt with the things in 2020 that we're dealing with? Any plans we had, they're upended. It's like 52 pickup. I find it fascinating that I'm the guy talking about plans. I've seen God up in my life again and again and again. I do make plans. I've been able to do some really cool things. And yet historically, I've been an awful planner. I just had last night, it's a recurring nightmare for me, things around college. Took me 7 years to get my 4-year degree, in large part because I was an awful planner. awful at planning what course I should take, awful at planning how I should study. And so my nightmare is that the college contacts me and I have to go back and complete my degree and take another test that I didn't plan very well for. It happens all the time. It's terrifying to me. When I was in college, I used to do work with students in junior high and high school, and I did that as well when I finished college. And when I would go and give talks or give Bible studies, I would always show up having not planned what I was going to say. And I would go, okay, everybody, and I would play Bible roulette. I would say, take out your Bibles. We're going to look today at Ezekiel 32:13. That's what we're going to look at today. It says this, they shall bring to ruin the pride, and I would just make stuff up. I would hate to go back and hear the awful things I taught. They were probably dead wrong because I didn't prepare. I didn't plan. Even today, one of the outages in my family is that I'm last minute in planning for family vacations. Everyone's got to have their stuff together further in advance. I'm more of a spontaneous guy. And yet, I know how to plan well enough to get me to work things. See, it doesn't matter what you plan. It matters the work that's coming out of the plan, but the plan is critical this winter. What we're going to talk about is the kind of plan where thoughts and ideas do not substitute for actions. It's spiritual formation. It's what happens when we take our thoughts, our beliefs, and we transfer it into actions. A lot of people have a lot of beliefs about God. A lot of people have a lot of ideas about God. A lot of people love to think about theology and think about all kinds of stuff. That's fine. Have your beliefs, have your thoughts, have your theology. All that's important, but just understand. Until you work on that plan, until you put it into action, it's lifeless. I want today, for some of you, to up the ante in your life. I want today to up your game in terms of your spiritual formation. I want today to help you not just see your plans are critical with your business or with your family or with your workout regimen, but I want you to see that there is a place to go with you or God where you have got to connect your plans and your work. When I go on a bike trip, I cast a wide net to a bunch of guys who ride, say, hey, how about we go to this place? And all of a sudden the text thread lights up. Guys are like, it'd be great. And then while we're planning it, getting the dates and all that stuff, there comes a line in the sand where you have to buy your plane ticket or you have to give your money to the guy who's driving the pickup truck, who's pulling the trailers, and you've got to give him jack. And at that point, the people who love planning, many of the people who love planning, just don't do it. And then what happens then is there's then a new text thread for people who actually are in because they're going to actually do it. There's a lot of people who are into talking about Jesus, into talking about the kingdom of God, or into talking about who God is. But when it comes down to putting your life on the line, are just not willing to follow through on their plans. I'm going to look at this a number of different ways in one of Jesus' classic teachings in the book of Luke, chapter 14. Here's what it says. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Here we see Jesus talk about somebody who just starts working about something, but he hasn't planned accordingly. He hasn't set in his mind the right steps. And why would he plan? He would plan because he wants to build something. Today, I want to help you to build your life and build your walk with God.
Oh. Well, Brian has some really amazing things to say about planning, and I really liked that when you go in with a plan, you can accomplish something. But it's not what I did here. I actually didn't have a plan, and so
I'm proud of you.
Thanks. You tried.
Yeah, you went
so
for it.
So much so this is how my planning went because I didn't plan. I did find a wishbone, but I broke it. So does that mean I'm gonna have bad luck?
No, it's double. That's what it means. So okay. 2020, your year, it's looking up. It's going to be a strong ending.
That's good.
Brian's had some great things to say to us about planning. One of the places I use planning the most in my life is with this spiritual discipline of tithing. I set a plan and then I put it into action. So if it's the same for you, or if you'd like to join us in helping us spread this message of Jesus and hope, you can do that with us at crossroads.net/give.
Let's catch back up with Brian and see what he has to say about how planning's actually just the first step.
In order for us to build something, specifically and especially a great life, we're going to have the right plans. I am in a planning center extraordinaire right now. It's an architectural office, Platt Designs. If you want to get something really cool planned out to build, this is the place for you to come. I feel the energy here because I've done a lot of building stuff in my life before, whether houses we build or I built or buildings that Cross has been a part of. There's got to be ample time in a place like this where you're doing the plans. But there's also a sense where you can get so extreme on the plans that it's like, okay, we got to break ground now. We got to go now. God wants us to plan, but he wants us to build. It's been noticed that the millennial generation is some of the most anal planners in the history of American culture. Many millennials have their very hour boiled down to this exact, what I need to do this minute and this hour. There's a whole structure of things you can buy for that. And there's a stress that comes with many millennials so concerned about the futures. And planning helps some of them feel like they have a sense of control. One person commenting on this says, I think millennials have a hyper awareness about all the possibilities for how they spend and structure their time. And there's all this pressure about whether you're living your life to the fullest. There may be pressure to it, but we just have to live it. And we can't see around every corner. And there's gonna be things that are gonna pop up that we're gonna have no idea how to deal with. That's why in a building project, there's always what's known as a contingency fund. You set aside money that you're planning to use that you can't even foresee what you're planning to use it for, because you know uncertainty is right around the corner. But you have to start building, and you can't wrestle down every scenario. You gotta just put something in your budget. I am right now in the midst of deep, deep planning, and I'm laying things out to plan right now for an elk hunt. Now I can hear the eyeballs rolling. Some people are going, oh my God, here goes Brian, talking about his latest adventure, talking about, yes, I am. Just talking about some of the things I know and trying to help you do the things that you know or the things that God wants you to do. Way, way back when, I've always thought, man, it'd be amazing to go on an elk hunt, these huge, majestic creatures, and be able to bag one of those suckers and feed my family on that meat for months and months and months and months and months, hundreds of pounds of meat. That'd be amazing. But I always thought that I just couldn't do it because I couldn't get a tag. That's the permission to get an elk license. Because in Ohio, where I live, guess what? There's not a lot of elk in Ohio. There's not. So you got to apply for a license or a tag in another state, and there's out of state requirements. It costs more money. It's hard to get all that kind of stuff. And it's very expensive, so I thought, because you have to hire some guy, you have to go to some property, pay that thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And I found out that no, you can actually go to Colorado and you can buy a tag over the counter. I started researching, I started planning, and oh my gosh, that's exactly what it's like. Now some of you are going, oh, must be nice to be you. I like to go elk hunting, but you know, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know, I'm not either. And I don't have one right now either. You know what you could do if you wanted to go elk hunting, just an example, you could plan for it. It would take you $3 to $4 a day for a year. Plan up $3 to $4 a day. That would cover your gas. That would cover your tag. That would cover some of your gear. You can do things. You can build things right now if you want to, but you're going to have to sacrifice something like maybe your Starbucks habit every day, maybe fewer streaming platforms, whatever it is. That's what Jesus says. He says you count the cost before you build. Are you counting the cost? There's possibilities you could build, but you have to plan. You have to count the cost. I've gotten deep in the weeds. It's actually been very, very fun. I've told you I have some planning deficiencies in my background. I've actually gotten okay with it, and I enjoy it. So I had to figure out what is the right gun that I need to take out? What's the right rifle? What is the right ammunition? I chose a gun and the ammunition. For those of you who are hunting geeks, I chose the most versatile all-round ammo, 300 Win Mag is what I chose. And part of how I'm able to do it so relatively cheaply, I'll probably be more like a budget of $2 a day over years, because we're not staying in hotels or anything. I'm taking the backpack I use. I got to dust that thing off, because I generally don't backpack. But I take a backpack to use my stuff, heading out into the wilderness. Going to be doing hiking, miles and miles of hiking every day. Adequate water goes in the backpack. Very, very critical. Needing that backpack as well, because if I happen to get an elk, I'm going to have to take multiple trips hauling out a lot of weight of meat. To find that sucker, I had to have optics. I had this already, and I'll have to sit in the side of a hillside, just what's known as glassing, to see if I can find where an elk is. Oh, I see one. And then planning out, I'm gonna have to take this route so he doesn't see me. Where is the wind coming so he doesn't get a whiff of my odor? These are all part of the plans. What am I going to be wearing? Something that causes me to be a bit camouflaged. Yet, I've got to have 500 square inches of Hunter's Orange as per Colorado regulations. And by the way, where we have base camp, it may snow up in the mountains, and I'm going to have to get chains for my tires. Four of them, because I have four-wheel drive, because you get stuck in the mountains in the midst of snow, no one's coming to get you. And let's just hope, just maybe, we get one. And I've got to have something to carve it up, to butcher on the spot those elk. So you're carving yourself, but yes, all that. But you have to plan, you prepare for this. Now, this is something that I'm doing. You can just see the level of planning. If I get an elk, if I get one, it's only because of all of these plans and all that much more. If you want to get something in your life, if you want to conquer something in your life, and I hope you do, and I hope you know what it is, you're going to have to plan. Now, as Jesus talks about building things, he says, let me make sure you understand the metaphor. He switches immediately from a building metaphor to a war metaphor. He says this, or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and he asks for terms of peace. Jesus says, let me make sure you understand this, okay? I'm going to give you a building metaphor. Let's get to a war metaphor. There is an importance to counting. Whether it's $4 a day, whether it's your contingency aspect of your budget, or whether it's the number of people you have to deploy into battle, you count. And if you see somebody has more guys than you, you're likely going to lose, and you likely need to change your plans. Counting is a critical aspect of planning. Mike Tyson had a famous quote just before he was going into the ring. He had a press conference, and someone in the press conference said, hey, I understand, champ, that this guy says he has a plan for you. And he says, well, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Actually, the way he said it was, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Never has there been a more manly man with a more confusing cadence. Mike Tyson, if you're watching right now, please do not be offended. I do not want to be pounded into applesauce by you. Not at all. So I'm just using it as an illustration. Sorry. Let's use a literal battle quote if we could. Dwight D. Eisenhower, the commander of the armed forces during World War II and also a U.S. president, he says, in preparing for battle, I have always found the plans are useless, but planning is indispensable. What does he mean by this? He means that while we may be counting the troops that we have, and we may be planning where to put our offensives onto the beachhead, things go wrong. That's why you need contingency funds. Things go wrong, or as the military knows it as, it's known as the fog of war. When you get into war, there are confusing things that pop up, and all of a sudden everything has changed. But if you didn't have the plans ahead of time, you wouldn't have the flexibility to make the possible changes that you could. It can be very stressful when someone comes into this part of this architectural office to figure out exactly what textures and what colors to put into their rooms. What kind of coverings, what kind of stuff should go onto the windows? What kind of stuff should go over the couches? What about the tile that ought to be on the bathroom? What about the really cool stuff? Like, I don't know what you would do with this, but this is just cool. Oh, so smooth. Oh, so nice. I could totally geek out at all of the some people get stressed out by this. Some people really geek out on it. It's really critical to make your plans in here, but here's the thing. At some point, you actually have to build. At some point, you actually have to go to war, whatever your planning is. At some point, you have to actually apply for the job. At some point, you have to actually ask her out. At some point, you have to actually file the paperwork and start your LLC. At some point, you have to actually put your shingle out and announce yourself as a new business. At some point, you have to actually have sex if you want to have a child. Hopefully, that's not surprising to you. At some point, you got to do the thing and not just plan the thing. Now, I'm going to make a switch here. You ready? So far, the spiritual content is real, but it's kind of lower shelf. Oh, planning. I need to have it. Okay. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's not really primarily concerned about you building a house. He's not trying to give insight to commanders of armies. He's drawing on the physical to help us to understand the spiritual. That's what I've been doing this whole time. The physical process of planning and doing elk, the physical process of planning and building a building, the physical process of having a life goal of running for office and actually run, all that's important, but here's the thing that it all builds to. How are you building your life spiritually? Where are you going spiritually? What are you not just planning to do spiritually, but what are you doing spiritually? Some of us are in perpetual seeking mode. We're always looking for some new insight, some new theological angle, some new person who's going to make us feel spiritual. Dalai Lama, Gandhi, Jesus, whatever it takes, something that'll just make me feel spiritual. Oh, Dalai Lama, oh, but then he said, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, and I think a part of that's fine. Dalai Lama seems like a great guy and says some great things. Gandhi set out a trajectory for how to get authority's attention that is incredibly healthy and very wonderful. But as I talk about Jesus, I want to be really, really clear. Jesus is not interested in us getting more spiritual. He's not interested in us getting more enlightened. He's interested in us building our life on him. He's interested in us saying to him, you are the fight I'm willing to fight. He's interested in us saying to him, you are the one I'm going to build my life on. So as he talks about buildings and wars, his big closing statement is, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Any of you that cannot take your plans for your life and give them to me, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus is not interested in giving us more spiritual thoughts. He's interested in us adhering to him, in us grabbing him, in us following him, in us fighting alongside of him and behind him. Jesus isn't interested in us believing the right things. He's not interested in us talking the right things. He's not interested in us planning to someday get serious with him. No. He wants us to shut our mind, shut our mouth, shut ourselves on Him and to finish. The reason why we plan is because we want to build something and we want to finish it. The reason why we plan is we want to go to war, we want to actually win it. And the reason we seek spiritually is because we want to find the one who is and who has always been and who has a power and a transcendence that surpasses any other person, any other worldview, any other philosophy. Friends, at some point, you have to stop thinking about things and you start to do things. Maybe this is the day where you actually embrace Christ, where you give your life to Him. Right now, you can say right now, I want to do it right now. Right now, you're going to say, hey, Jesus, right now, Jesus, I want to give you my life. Just say it. Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want you inside of my spirit. Forgive me for my willy-nilliness, my sins. Fill me with your spirit. As best I can, I will build my life on you. I will fight for you and with you. I will go a different trajectory in my life. When you say that, and when you do that, you go from planning to building. Now, it's important to understand as we talk about the things we're doing and the things that we're building, we can't control our life. As much as we would like to, we can't. And that's part of what gets many of us hung up with our plans, is we think that our plans are a way to control our life, and they're not. You just can't control your life. I don't care what plans you had in 2020, they didn't happen, did they? Most of them. I don't care what philosophies you had in 2020, it didn't quite work out that way, did it? There's another book in the New Testament, the book of James, and it's believed that Jesus' brother actually wrote it. They had a lot of commonalities and they had a lot of shared experiences when they were younger. And James 4:13 says this, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin." When we know the right thing to do, when we're planning on doing the right thing, that's wonderful, but we have to do it. And when we set these plans up, we can't control our future. We can't control 2021. God could bring another pandemic. Sorry to depress you. I hope not. God could bring more killer hornets or whatever the heck those things. He could bring more stuff that we're not willing. So I have to hold my plans loosely. I got to hold my plans loosely, but I have to have something to hold. I've got to have something to hold, but I realize there could be an X factor of something changing, and these plans just evaporate, right? You have all your plans, and you get a medical diagnosis, and it evaporates. You have all these plans, and all of a sudden the economy tanks, and it evaporates. You have all these plans, and all of a sudden you find that you have infertility, and those plans, at least for that year, may vanish, at least for a temporary season. Friends, 2021 is right around the corner. It is coming up. We need to decide right now during this winter of 2020, what we want 2021 to look like. What we want our future to look like. And instead of on the morning of January 1st going, oh, I need to have some resolutions for the year, which oftentimes don't get followed through on because we haven't counted the cost, we need to right now be thinking about what are the things that I want to build spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, physically, occupationally, all kinds of ugly words. What are the things you want to do? And here's my advice. Here's my advice. My advice is find one area and go after that area. This is all the planning I'm not planning much of anything else. This is all I've been planning right now, and I've been focused on that. You're probably not going to be able to be better read, more relationally connected, more physically fit, more biblically literate, more emotionally solid. You probably are not going to be able to do all the things that you want to do. What is an area you want to plan around and go after? And there's no need to wait even for 2021. In fact, as you're doing your plans, just start with something. Start building. If it's physical fitness, just start something. What would it be? I don't know. You choose. You plan. Eliminating carbs? A 20-minute walk a day? Push-ups at commercial time? Start building. If you want to get ahead financially, you want more resources to manage, okay, right now, start right now. What is that? Networking with some folks? Is that what it is? Is it taking a budgeting workshop to be able to control the money that God is blessing you with? Is it applying for some different job? Well, what is it? Just start right now. Start now. If spirits you want to feel close with God, what is it? Well, one of the things probably is I need to actually know what his words are. He planned on me knowing him, and he knew that I needed to understand his word and his heart. So right now you start reading this or reading your Crossroads app or whatever. Friends, don't let your life pass you by. Don't do it. Don't be one of the ones who are deluded, thinking you can just think about good things and your life can go forward. It doesn't work that way. Don't be one of the people who just think, well, I'm just planning, but someday, no. When you can hunt elk, hunt elk. When you can ask someone to marry you, ask them to marry you. When you can start a business, start a business. Plan about it, but work about it. Because the real fruit comes is when you finish about it. Let me pray for you right now. God, I'm thankful that you're a God that pushes us beyond. And you're also so practical, God. You know that we need to plan and not just run off all willy-nilly. And I thank you for the model of Jesus. And I thank you that he is one who finished his life well. He built it, and he finished it, and he counsels us how to do that. I pray, God, that there would be a time when 2022 comes and there will be people who say, I remember that talk that Jesus gave about building things and wars and elk. I remember something said there, but that started something new for me. It started me building something that actually got finished. God, would you bless all who are on that path and keep the sun from evaporating the mist of our life? I pray these things according to your name, Jesus. Amen.
Man, I needed to hear that, Justin. I know that I have plans that I like, but I need to put them before God. I need to give them to him.
That's right. One of the places for me where I put them before God is using worship, times of singing, prayers to melodies. I get to lay my plans before him, submit them to him. And scripture tells us over and over again that God is for you. He's with you. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will succeed. We have a good father and a good king that we can bring our plans before and lay them down before him and trust him fully in that. So that's what we're going to do with these songs right now.
On this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over, my story's just begun. This failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my father does. This failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my father does. Lay your burdens down, ooh, here in the Father's house. journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. 'Cause failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Hey! If failure's never final.
Yeah. This is our souls when fear creeps in. Won't you save us again?
I've had a great time learning here today and growing in my understanding of planning. And if you want to know what's next, if you don't want to miss anything, you can text the word next to 313131 to stay updated on the next episode.
Let's be honest. You and I have two options for this winter. We can either isolate, hibernate, hunker down, or we can make a plan and grow in it. And you can do that best with other people around you. So don't isolate. Step into community. Find your people. Find your group at crossroads.net/groups.
You know, Justin, Christmas is right around the corner.
Come on.
It is. It's coming. And whether you're new here or been around for a long time, here at Crossroads, we do something called the Christmas Gift Drive. And that's just where we give physical gifts to children to remind them how much their Heavenly Father loves them. If you're interested or want to know more, you can go to crossroads.net/CGD.
So glad you were with us today. We'll see you back here next time for our new series called Christmastime 2020.
Is Christmas canceled this year?
Does Santa have to wear a mask?
Does Santa have COVID?
How is there going to get presents?
Yeah, this year's a little cuckoo. The good news, Christmas is coming. A season of hope and light. It might just be exactly what this weary world needs most. Christmastime 2020, a new weekly series from Crossroads.
Are we still having Christmas?
Heck yeah, we are, kid. Check out the Crossroads app on your smart TV or go to crossroads.net/Christmas.